Hello and welcome to the seventh episode of the Life is Casual Gamers podcast. My name is Matt. I'm joined by Mike. And of course, Steve couldn't be here today because, well, he decided that sleep was more important than our podcast.
I thought he called in sick.
He called in sleepy. So now he is, what are the seven dwarfs? He's the sleepy one.
He's the sleepy one. And the angry one, maybe.
Is sleepy one of them?
Sleepy, and there's an angry one that I remember. And that pretty much is Steve.
You would be dopey. Who would I be?
I have to rewatch Snow White.
Find out who all the dwarves are. Because you would definitely be dopey, especially after showing up last night completely stoned. seven
Don't incriminate
dwarves.
Me. You just incriminated me.
Yeah, I didn't incriminate you. I said that you were stoned. It's not the end of the world. Who doesn't get stoned nowadays besides me?
Good Christians like myself.
Did you say good Christians?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's Doc. He's the only dwarf that isn't named after an adjective. There's Grumpy. I'd probably be Grumpy.
You're not Grumpy.
Sometimes. I don't know. There's Happy. There's Sleepy. There's Dopey. So Steve is Sleepy. You're Dopey. There's Bashful. There's Sneezy.
You're Sneezy.
I'd probably be Grumpy because I could get pretty grumpy sometimes, especially when it comes to stupid people. Like if I'm ever grumpy with you, there's a good chance it's because you're dumb.
Is there a dwarf that trolls everyone? Because that'd be you.
Yeah, can I just be the troll? I'd be the troll.
There's a new dwarf and it's a troll. It's not a dwarf.
It's Matt. Matt's the new dwarf. So Doc? Like really? Doc?
Is he a doctor?
I have no idea, man. This is weird. I do not remember a Doc dwarf. Like I do not remember a Doc dwarf.
Me neither, and I used to watch that movie weekly for some reason.
Well, I guess we settled it. I'll be grumpy. You're dopey.
I'll take
Steve
that.
Steve sleepy.
Always like 5 hours of sleep or 20 hours of sleep. No in between.
Five hours of sleep, yeah, I guess, yeah, there really is no in between. Either he's like really excited to do something and he gets 5 hours of sleep, and then other times he's like, no, bro, I need to catch up on my sleep, and I need 15,000. I need 24 hours of sleep, and he just hibernates for a day.
Then he wakes up. I'm tired, man. Like, no kidding. You overslept.
Well, I mean, like, you need a good sleep schedule. This is, you know, we're getting up there now. We're not 16 anymore. I used to be able to do that. I used to be able to get 4 hours of sleep and go for 24 hours of partying afterwards. Can't do that anymore, man.
Nowadays, if I get 6 to 8 hours of sleep, I'm happy.
Yeah, I'm the same too. Even six sometimes isn't enough. It all depends. Like it all depends on how excited I am to do something the next day. Because I mean, if I got to wake up for work on 6 hours of sleep, I'm waking up and I'm dragging my feet. If I'm waking up so we can go and do something fun, I'm like up and at 'em, like with no sleep whatsoever, and I'm ready to go. So, I guess it makes me a little bit of a hypocrite because I said that Steve does the exact same thing. But I mean, the next day I don't complain that I'm tired and I need 15 hours of sleep.
Yeah, the next day I know why I'm tired because I got X amount of sleep and it's not the original 6 to 8 hours that I need.
Yeah, and I mean, like, if you only get 8 hours afterwards, it's more than enough to catch up on your sleep. The catching up on sleep is actually a myth. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you can't catch up on sleep. If you get 2 hours of sleep tonight and you're exhausted the next night and you pass out and you try to get 16 hours of sleep, you're still going to wake up overslept. Like, 8 hours of sleep is all you need. The only reason why you're tired after 8 hours of sleep, if you only got 2 hours the previous night, only reason why you're still tired is because your sleep schedule is all messed up. Because they say that a proper sleep schedule is the most important.
Whenever I have a proper sleep schedule, 8 hours every day, I feel like fantastic. I could take on the world. I'm a superhero.
You need a bedtime and a wake-up time, and you got to stick to it. And they actually say that if you have, like, say a 7 a.m. alarm from Monday to Friday, they say to try to wake up around 7 o'clock on your days off too, to keep with that sleep schedule, which I know nobody does. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, fuck that.
But I mean, that's what they say, like, to keep your sleep schedule, it's the best thing to do, is even on your days off to wake up around the time that you wake up at work. I will defend Steve in this point, since he's not here to defend himself. Steve does have a very messed up work schedule, so it's really hard for him I don't know how he does that job where it's really hard for him to keep a proper sleep schedule, because it's like one week he's doing 9-to-5s, the next week he's doing overnights, the next week he's doing evenings, and the next week he's doing 9-to-5s again.
Yeah, poor guy. His sleep schedule's all messed up. Even on Friday, Thursday night, he was working until he had the midnight shift Thursday night, I think. Then he had to come home at 11:30 and go straight to bed to wake up to go to work for 9.
Yeah, but I think that was because he switched his shift. But regardless, yeah, they still sucks. At the end of the day, it still sucks. I mean, they used to do that to my girlfriend, too. They used to schedule her until 7 o'clock at night on a Friday, and then it was an hour and a half commute for her to get home, and then she would have to wake up at 3:30 to get to work for 5 a.m. the next day.
Oh.
So,
holy.
You go home, you get to bed, and you get no like barely any sleep, and you wake up, you have another day. But thankfully, I think they realized what they were doing, and they changed it on her. But so now she doesn't have to do that late shift on Friday and early shift on Saturday. But I mean, sometimes that's like, it's like the job requires it, and it's what you got to do. It's not the greatest situation, but I mean, it's something that you got to do. But if you can get a proper sleep schedule going, it's best to do that. Although, I mean, I have like I do a decent job keeping together my sleep schedule, but that's because I'm lucky and I work 11 to 7. So I get to sleep in until 10 because I also live across the street from work. So I walk to work every day. So I can wake up at 10 o'clock, get ready, take my time, make a coffee, you know, do what I got to do, and then just walk across the street and I'm at work. So I could go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. Ain't and I'll nice. Still get 8 hours of sleep. And some nights, if we're playing video games late at night, which happens more often than you think, where I end up, you know, playing video games until 3 in the morning, or I end up playing video games till 2 in the morning and I watch a show until 3 or 4, I'm still getting 6 to 7 hours of sleep.
I don't know how you're sitting on the chair all day with 6 or 7 hours sleep. I'd start putting my head down, start resting my eyes a little bit, then boom, next thing I know it's 4 o'clock and I've done nothing.
Like at work?
At school.
Yeah, but the school puts you to sleep, man. When you're at work, you're doing stuff, you're busy, and you know, you don't fall asleep at work. And also with my job, like I said, once again, I live across the street from work, so I take my lunch breaks at home and I get to lie down on the couch and watch TV and eat my lunch at home.
I still fell asleep at work once or twice.
Oh, dear.
Doing some testing.
The only time I ever fell asleep at work was when I worked in retail.
It was one of those involuntary sleeps where you're like keeping your eyes open, then all of a sudden you're just looking in the space and you're just sleeping for some reason. You just fall asleep. You don't know how it happens. You just, your eyes are open 1 second, then all of a sudden you're just dozing off, and you feel that rush of adrenaline, I guess, to wake up.
You're like, You ever do that when you're behind the wheel?
Yeah.
I used to intern at a radio station in downtown Toronto, I had to work for the morning show, and I would have to wake up really, really early. And then when I got my entry-level job at that station on Saturdays and Sundays, you probably remember this, for the first 3 to 4 months that I had that job, they put me on the newbie shift, which was 5 a.m. Saturday and Sunday. So I would go to bed at like 8 or 9 o'clock on my Friday and Saturday, and I would wake up at like 3:30 in the morning so I could drive downtown and go to work. And I sacrificed my weekends for like 4 months. And on my way home from those shifts, I was still so tired from waking up at an ungodly hour that the entire drive home, I was like slapping myself and I was pinching my leg to keep me on my music cranked. And I was still. I'd be behind the wheel and just, okay, you can't fall asleep. It was like the adrenaline is what kept me up, because it was like, if I fall asleep, I die. If I fall asleep, I die. And it was just like, okay, I can't fall asleep. And I would come home and I would show my girlfriend afterwards all of the bruises along my leg, because it was the only way I could keep myself up. I would pinch my leg and it would give me a jolt, and it would keep me awake for another 5 to 10 minutes, because I was in, like, it took my brain off of falling asleep and it put it onto the pain of my leg. So I literally had bruises all up and down my leg. It was like I was abusing myself, because it was just all bruises, because I couldn't fall asleep. It was either pinch myself and bruise my leg, or fall asleep behind the wheel and swerve into the guard lane and kill myself, because those were literally my two options, because I was ruined.
Karen's probably like, who the fuck has been beating you at work?
You know where, I'm into kinky stuff, baby. Sorry.
You know where that used to happen to me a lot? Driving to the dirty schwa every morning and every night. I would always, in the morning, fall asleep behind the wheel in traffic or coming home falling asleep in traffic.
When we worked together or before I worked with you out there?
Both.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you were asleep in the car and I was falling asleep driving.
Oh, at true. Some point. Because we would actually take turns. So me and Mike, we both did construction in a place called Oshawa. It's in the Greater Toronto area. And it's called the Dirty Schwa because, I mean, like, it's disgusting. It's, like, exactly what you would picture a place called the Dirty Schwa would look like. And we did construction. And I live a half an hour away from Mike. And from Mike, the Dirty Schwa is, what, an hour and a half, 2 hours away?
Yeah.
An hour. It was like I was waking up at 4 a.m. and leaving my house at 4:30 a.m. so I could come to your house and we would meet up and we would go to work together. And then we would take turns. One day you would drive, the next day I would drive. And whoever was in the passenger seat got to sleep on the way to work. And yeah, basically that was brutal because I almost fell asleep too while you were sleeping in the passenger seat.
Apparently the drivers fell asleep too.
Yeah.
You know,
that was brutal, man. And they gave us crap almost every day because almost every day we were like a couple of minutes late. And I was like, buddy, I'm doing a 2.5 hour commute to get here. It was like decent money. So I was like, okay, whatever, it's worth it. I'm not going to get a place over here because it's, you know, I don't want to live in this place. So I was like, I'll just do the commute, spend the money on gas. I'm still cashing in at the end of the day. It didn't really matter. And I just sacrificed that 2 hour commute, as did you. But, yeah, no, it was one of those things where it was like, we're commuting 2.5 hours and we were 2 minutes late. To me, that's impressively on time.
And you know what really helped? You know what stopped me from falling asleep on the wheel? You know what stopped me? You know? So here's a tip for all the
marijuana?
Viewers. Actually, that does help, but that's not it.
No, it doesn't.
It does help.
Don't get stoned and drive. I'll kill you.
So... what really helped for all the listeners out there and Matt is sunflower seeds.
True. They help. They keep your mind off of everything.
Keeps your mouth moving. You're always doing something and you just spit it in your cup. And for some reason, it kept me awake for the whole ride there.
That's why you always had sunflower seeds in your car for the longest time.
Yeah, that was the reason.
Sunflower seeds are also the greatest way to quit smoking.
Yep.
Because I remember when we were hanging out a few times, we would hang out outside and in the summer just... hanging out, and we'd all have sunflower seeds. And back then I smoked cigarettes, and we would just be chewing on sunflower seeds, drinking our coffee and talking, and for like a solid 4 hours I wouldn't have a single cigarette.
It kept your mouth moving. It was like a habit of putting something in your mouth.
Yeah, you still had something in your mouth, and you know, kept your mind off of things. What's so funny? Why'd you look at the computer and laugh?
Well, because I saw Jonathan come online and...
oh, I have Steam logged on still.
And I kept thinking about Dirty Puns of putting stuff in your mouth because I know how much you like putting stuff in your mouth.
You do not know how hard it was to avoid those puns.
How hard it was. Eh?
That wasn't even an intentional pun.
Now it was.
Now it was.
So we didn't even play Counter-Strike this week, did we?
I did. I played a few. Actually,
did we play
like,
together?
It's with who?
Did we play together?
We played a couple together. Which, speaking of which, we don't have a weekly freakout this week. This is 7 weeks. Not one of us freaked out this week. We played a couple of games. I played more games with Steve, and like I wish Steve was here this week because once again, we had another impressive week with Steve because he didn't rage once. We had the game of our life this week. And I mean, and then we had some really bad games. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. We, like, got destroyed some games, but Steve didn't rage once. So it was like, and Steve wasn't toxic once. And I was like, oh my God, we got our old Steve back.
Oh my God, we started this podcast because we knew Steve was going to rage. And we started the weekly freakout, I should say, because we knew Steve was going
to
rage.
The weekly freakout was intentionally just for Steve to have clips of Steve freaking out each and every single week, and Steve has only been featured on it once. It ended up being me and you more so.
Yeah.
And then Steve was featured on it once. This week, I played more with Steve than I have with you. Steve didn't have one moment where he freaked out.
Wow. He's making us look like liars.
Yeah,
I'm going to beat him up today.
He's playing chess right now. He's playing the long game. He's like, yeah, yeah, these guys want to do a podcast where they can make fun of me and they can do the weekly freak out and showcase me freaking out every week. Screw that. I'm going to keep my cool. I'm not going to freak out. And I'm just going to chill and I'm going to make them look like assholes.
And Mike is going to break his mouse.
Oh, well, Steve, also, I think another reason why he may not have freaked out this week is because his girlfriend's dog chewed up the wires to his headphones. So he doesn't have headphones. Sucks. So he's using the mic on his laptop right now. So he changed it to push to talk or else we get like I freak out. I'll be like, this is annoying as hell. I can hear all his background noise and whatever. So he has just been doing push to talk on his laptop mic. And I guess if he freaks out, he just hasn't been freaking out on mic.
Yeah, who knows what's happening behind closed doors? He's probably whipping the mouse.
Behind closed doors is like a fish tank is just completely shattered. There's water and fish all over the floor. His TV's got thrown out the window.
Thrown through the wall.
His mattress got set on fire. Oh, man. So we just started out this podcast just bantering, man. I love this.
Talking about sleep.
Yeah. This is the sleep podcast. We're going to change it to the Life is Sleepy Gamers podcast.
I like falling asleep between Counter-Strike rounds, you know.
Take a little nap.
I had a gaming sense of a five-year-old this week. I was played like two games by myself, and I swear, like, I don't know what I was aiming at. I don't know what I was hearing. I don't know. I couldn't tell the difference between counter-terrorists and terrorists.
You were too stoned or not stoned enough?
I was too tired.
Sleepy podcast. Sleep is what wins you Counter-Strike matches.
I'm drinking lots of water.
So I finally figured out how to use OBS. It's a recording software. So
Ontario now, Building Standards?
Yeah. So now, because the videos that I posted before in the weekly freakouts, the audio quality was a little bit brutal because I was using NVIDIA GeForce and I couldn't figure out how to get good sound out of it because always my mic, since I was the one that was recording, my mic was always booming loud and I couldn't hear anybody else. So I'm like the worst. I'm the most casual gamer because everyone's been using this. It's no secret. Someone finally told me about it, and it's OBS, and I used that, and I configured it. I had to watch a YouTube tutorial to figure it out because I'm that bad.
Thank God for YouTube.
And yeah, and I figured it out, so now we'll have some cleaner audio. It sucks that we don't have a freakout this week because I tested it all out, and I got some clean audio now, but none of us freaking out. Although, I kind of had a little bit of a freakout. It was just once where I was freaking out and saying, I'm going to uninstall, I'm uninstalling, I'm uninstalling. And that was about it. But I posted the video as to why I freaked out. It was like the one quick moment. I posted that video onto our YouTube channel. So you could go to our YouTube channel, subscribe because you're awesome. And you could watch the video. Basically, the CS hitboxes are just garbage where I was going through the A ramp on Mirage.
CS hitboxes are garbage.
Yeah,
or
it's either
you
me or
garbage.
CS, and I don't want to take any ownership of this. But basically, I was walking onto A site in Mirage, and there was one of the terrorists were looking at connector with their AK, and I only had a 5.7, and I was like, so I got to be sneaky here. I just got to one tap this guy. So I literally took like 10 minutes to line up my crosshair perfectly over his head. It's right over his head. I shoot, it misses. He turns around, starts spraying at me. I spray at him with my pistol. He kills me. I hit him four times for 88, and I was just like, done. And I just like, I'm uninstalling. And I posted the video with some music and me uninstalling. It's quite funny. You can go check it out. It's only a 30-second video. It's also on our Instagram as well. You can go and follow us and give that a like as well. You can find the video there.
Like and subscribe.
But basically, that's the only moment that I think any of us had a freak out this week. Other than that, it was just kind of like whatever. But yeah, that recording software, it is awesome. So we'll have some better recordings now. So we should have more content on our YouTube and on our Facebook. And you'll start seeing more videos. You'll start hearing better audio with our freakouts and a whole lot more.
And I will talk with my beautiful voice more.
And I also want you guys to actually go and watch that video because I want you to leave a comment and let me know. Does the game suck? Are the hitboxes broken or do I suck? I can take it. You can tell me I suck.
You suck.
Just go leave a comment. Let me know.
No, you suck.
Yeah, but you suck too. So it's okay. Your opinion doesn't matter.
But you still suck.
You know what I realized this week as well?
What did you realize?
You can actually buy an extended hard drive for your PlayStation.
You never knew that?
No, because there's actually specific ones for the PlayStation, but you can actually just go and buy a regular external drive, like 2 terabyte drive, plug it into your PlayStation, format it to your PlayStation, and put games onto there. I have a 500 gigabyte PlayStation hard drive, and like I have like 7 games, and the hard drive's full. So I'm like, what the hell? How am I going to get new games for my PlayStation unless I delete old games? But I don't want to delete old games, because if I want to go back and play them, like I want to keep my data. Like I want to keep the data. So I got to actually go out and buy a 2 terabyte hard drive and add that so I can actually play more games on my PlayStation.
I didn't know there were specific hard drives for PlayStations. I thought you could just plug in any old hard drive that you buy a kind
yeah, but then
computers.
You gotta format it. You can buy a specific PlayStation one that's pre-formatted, which I mean, like, it literally takes 2 seconds. You plug in the hard drive, you go into the settings, you click format disk, and you're done.
Yeah, and I bet since they have that PlayStation logo, they'll slap on another $40.
That's pretty well it. Yeah,
that's what they do with their controllers, their mics, their hard drives now, probably everything else. Oh, what are you doing over there, Matt? That's disgusting.
Sorry, I was dying. I had to blow my nose mid-podcast.
Oh, man.
I was dying.
But actually, speaking of PlayStation controllers, they're so expensive, but I feel like the third-party controller makers make shittier quality controllers.
Yeah, I wouldn't even bother buying a third-party controller, honestly. Like, I would not bother. I'd rather... you know what you do with controllers? You wait for them to go on sale, and you buy them for, like, a discounted price. Basically, for the price that they should be.
They never have discounted prices when I break my controller.
So what you got to do is you got to anticipate the fact that you're going to rage and break your controller.
plan around the discount prices.
When it goes on sale, buy one so you have a spare. And now you know that if you break it, you could just open up the box and you got a new controller.
I'm going to do some research, and whenever a controller goes on sale, that's the day I'm going to break my controller. Just whip it across the room.
Or what you could
do. Intentionally rage.
Actually, I don't think you can do this anymore. My brothers used to do this because they would rage so much and break controllers. And then what they would do is they would go to like Best Buy or Walmart and they would buy a new controller. They would put the old one in the box and go and return it. But now, the last time I went with Luca to Walmart, with my brother to Walmart.
They're con artists.
They looked at the serial numbers. They're like, this isn't the same controller. He's like, what? I bought it yesterday. Like, it's the same. Like, I didn't even open it. And they matched up the serial numbers, and they're like, no, this isn't it. We can't take it back.
Oh, they got
booked. On his Xbox controller. Because that's what they used to do, too. Sometimes they wouldn't even break their controllers. It would just, like, the controllers would get, like, old, and the buttons would get either, like, sticky or loose or whatever. And they'd be like, okay, I want to upgrade to a new controller now. Like, this controller I've used for the last, like, 6 months to a year. They would go, it still looks brand new, but it's just, like, the joysticks are a little bit, you know... not the same. So they would go and buy a new controller, return the old one, and have a new controller, but they can't do it anymore because now I think so many people were doing it that they actually look at the serial numbers now. They open it up and look at the serial numbers. You can't get away with that shit anymore.
They got smart.
Yeah, they did. Thankfully, though, I've never had this problem. I haven't broken one controller. Like, the only controller that I've ever had for my PS3 or my PS4 is the one that came with the console.
You haven't been playing video games right if you don't rage at least once and throw your controller across the room and hit something and break something else.
I rage, but also I value the money that I spend on things, and I don't have the money to spend on other things. So what I do instead of throwing my controller is I just punch the couch. Because the couch isn't going to break. You punch a pillow or a couch, or if you whip the controller, whip it at the couch.
Yeah, that works too. I guess I'll stop aiming for the door.
Yeah. Don't throw it at the floor. There was something hard, you know. Like,
throw it at the floor so it bounces and hit the TV.
Throw it at the couch or at the pillow.
I was gonna put a boxing bag in my room or a speed bag just in case.
Oh, speaking of which, I literally saw this Facebook ad or whatever that came across my feed this week, and I don't know. Did I tag you in it? I might have tagged you in it. You came to mind. It was basically a desk punching bag.
Oh my god, that's so useful.
And oh, you know why I didn't share it? Because your birthday's around the corner. I was going to message Steve and see if he wanted to go splits on it, but I forgot to message him to see if he wanted to go splits on it for your birthday.
Yeah, I know my birthday present.
I didn't buy it, so I don't know. We could get it for you late if you want this, but basically it's like, you know, like the material, like the GPSs have to go onto your window, like the suction cups.
Yeah.
It's a suction cup that goes onto your desk, and it's like this rod that goes, like this flimsy rod that goes up, and then it's like one of those punching bags that Rocky goes and does the thing with. It's not like an actual punching bag. It's that little ball that
the speed bag.
Yeah, the speed bag. So it's one of those. So it's like if you get mad, it was like meant for you to have at work, which anybody who brings one of those to work and their boss sees them going ham on a punching bag, bad idea. But for at home, playing video games, great idea. You get mad and just, bah! It goes, bounces over, hits your keyboard, need new keyboard.
So there's probably a lot of ways to relieve stress when you're playing video games and you get tilted. I wonder what other people use.
I think a lot of people will use their mouse. You know what I do, actually? I'm surprised that my keyboard has lasted this long because my keyboard is like a knockoff gaming keyboard. Like, I bought it at the source. It was like a $40 gaming keyboard, but it just had the gaming tag on it.
Gaming keyboard.
I mean, it's a decent keyboard because the buttons don't stick, but I'm surprised it lasted this long, because when I get tilted a lot of the, and same with my headphones too, because typically if I get mad and I rage, the first thing I do is I grab the headphones, I put them on mute. Sometimes I forget to put them on mute, but I grab the headphones and I just throw them like below my monitor. So I'll go, fuck this. Because I don't want to hear anything anymore. I get mad. So I just, and I throw them, and it typically goes like right underneath my monitor stand. Like, my monitor stands like this, and I hit it like that. And then after that, I'll grab my keyboard and I'll lift it up from the bottom and I just send it flying. I'll just go, I just throw it forward. I pick it up and I throw it forward. So just, first it's, if you want to see the actual action, you can check this video out on YouTube. We're recording this right now on our phone, and we'll sync it up to the audio, put it on YouTube, so you can actually see the exact actions of how I throw my keyboard and headphones. But yeah, that's pretty well what I do when I rage. But I mean, like, I do it in a sense that I basically try as hard as I can not to break anything. So I still get the action of throwing something.
Just to get it out.
Yeah, just to get that frustration out. But I don't actually send anything full send.
So, viewers, how do you guys rage? Wait, what do you guys do?
How do you do to deal with the rage inside of you?
Leave a comment below.
Rage against the machine. Also, A Way Out got released this weekend. You were just saying before we started this podcast that you wanted to buy a new game because you had a gift card.
Is that on Steam?
It should be on Steam.
It's on PS4.
It's on PS4, it's on Xbox, and it's on PC. I'm going to confirm that right now on Steam. It might not be on Steam. It's probably because it's published by EA, but I know that it's on PC. So, A Way Out PC. So basically, it's Origin. So you would need Origin to download this game.
Oh my god, why do I have to download more stuff?
So you can't even use your gift card for this unless we play on PS4.
Can I use my gift? Do they have an Origin gift card at EB Games?
I don't know. We can go to the mall after this and go and look. Because I was going to say, this thing needs a required.
Does this say 16 gigs of RAM? Why does it need 16
gigs? It's recommended, not minimum.
Why is 16 gigs of... I have 16 gigs of RAM, so I don't care.
The minimum is 8 gigs. I have 8 gigs.
I have 16
gigs. And then the recommended graphics card is a GTX 960, which is what I have. Or an R9 290.
What's the AMD?
R9 290.
I have an R9.
So we're probably good to play this on PC. Our computers will run it. But apparently this is only a 4 or 5 hour game. But there's about 4 or 5 hours of gameplay. It's a co-op only game. It's available on PS4, Xbox, and PC. And basically it's $40 Canadian, it's $30 American, just in case someone here is listening from the States. If we have anybody listening at all, but
live from our igloo,
it's $40. We don't actually both have to buy the game. So really? I thought I would have to spend $40 and you would have to spend $40. And if Steve wanted to play with us, Steve would pay $40. But basically,
Steve will pay $40 anyways.
Yeah.
Even though it gets split.
Steve will have to be the third person out to spend $40 since he's not here today. So me and you will do this. But basically, say I spend $40 and then I get a code for a friend. So you go and download, and I was reading online today, you go and download the demo. You have to download the demo first. So you like the trial or the demo, and then I give you the code and you put in the code and now you have the game too.
Cool.
And then we could play together, but you can only do that with one friend. So we could go and do this all right now. But then Steve would have to spend $40 himself if he wanted to play the game as well with us, with one of us.
Oh, fuck, Steve. I'm broke.
But I mean, I was thinking, I'm broke too, man. You guys both owe me, you owe me $100. Steve owes me 55. But
I'm in debt with two other people.
But we already had an arrangement, you and I, when you'd pay me back. So it's all good.
I started working again.
Did you? When did you start working?
Thursday.
Beauty, so you can pay me back. The agreement was when you start working again.
I work once a week, so.
No, pay me for the Brian Fallon tickets for the day of the concert and then Gaslight whenever you
can afford it. Brian Fallon's pretty soon.
Yeah, it's April. It's like a Tuesday. I know that. It's April 24th.
Oh, I'm done exams.
So I had to take off the Monday and Tuesday for that concert because there's no point in me driving back to work and then to my apartment for the Monday and then come back again Monday night for the Tuesday. So I just I got a 4-day weekend that week.
Woo!
But yeah, no. So back to Way Out. If you buy the game, I give you $20. If I buy the game, you give me $20. And then how you doing? Someone buys the game, you give the other person the code, and we play together. We'll be done the gameplay in 4 or 5 hours. We could literally do that in one night or stretch it out to two nights if we wanted to. But I mean, for $20 to play a game that looks this fun, I'd be down to spend $20 for 5 hours worth of content. I mean, there's DLCs that have 2 hours of content that are $40.
But when they say 4 or 5 hours of content, what I've heard from this game is that each gameplay is different. So if you start a new game, it's going to be different from the last game.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
It's kind of like, I don't know, Counter-Strike or PUBG or...
It's different every time.
It's different every time.
I heard that there's a lot of cinematics, but I don't know about, like, and it's only 4 or 5 hours.
Maybe
no,
Dishonored.
Like, free roam. There's no free roam, so you can only do the story.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's no free roam.
Maybe it's like Dishonored where there's like 40 different ways to do one objective.
Well, let's buy it this week. $20 isn't much for a new game. You said you wanted to buy a new game. And if you got the gift card, we could honestly play it for PS4. Do you have headphones for PS4?
Yeah.
So we could do... Oh, you can connect your headphones on Bluetooth. So we could go to the mall after this podcast is done. We'll go buy it for PS4. Oh, but you don't have PS Plus.
No.
You have it through Steve's.
Yeah.
But you can play online with it, though, no?
If Steve's not online. And he's always watching Netflix.
When does he work this week? We need him here to know when he works this week so we can figure this out.
We'll see him tonight, I think.
We'll see him tonight. We'll figure it out regardless. Let's go to the mall regardless. We'll go to EB Games. We'll figure out if you could get an Origin gift card. If you get Origin gift card, you can get $40 to Origin so you can buy it.
Can I transfer this gift card?
And then if not, we can just buy it for the PS4. I'll give you $20, buy it for the PS4. And dude, if you have a gift card, buy a PS Plus subscription at EB Games.
Oh, you can do that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I don't
want
to. So
now you have PS Plus. And you have a Way Out.
I know, but I don't play PS4 as much as PC.
Dude, trust me. I will vouch for this. PS Plus is worth it because you get 2 free games a month. And a lot of the times, they're good games. And you get to keep them until you uninstall. So I'm going to actually go and buy a hard drive. So because I've deleted a lot of free games that I can't get back anymore for free anymore because I wanted to make up storage on my hard drive. Now I realized, oh, I can go and get an external hard drive. So I'll get those PS Plus games. You get free. You'll never run out of games, dude. And like I would do it just for the games, even if you don't play online.
How much
do
is
it
for a year?
Games. I got it on sale last summer when I got my PlayStation. It happened to go on sale like 2 weeks later, so I bought it, and I think I paid like $40 or $60. It might be $60 or $80.
Hmm. And two free games a year? Or two free games a month. Oh, then you get your
money's
worth.
It was Bloodborne and Ratchet and Clank this month. So, like, two good games.
So you get your money's worth then.
You get your money's worth off of the free games. And then you get the access to play online is like, you know, it's almost like paying for the PS Plus and then, you know, as an added perk, and then you get to play online. Oh. And then if you buy any other games that we like together, that you can, like, if you end up buying Call of Duty, we can play it together. If you end up buying Overwatch, we can play it together. Like, there's a bunch of games that you can buy. Also, you still have my South Park. I don't know if you want to pay for the DLC, but there's a DLC that just came out.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. But the thing is,
is it like a costume DLC or is it actual gameplay?
It's an actual gameplay, but it's like an hour and a half to 2 hours worth of gameplay. And the thing is I got to look at the price of it. I haven't looked at the price of it yet. My problem with DLCs, and this is like the reason why I just, you know, I know people complain that game developers don't release full games so that this way they can make more money on DLCs. And I don't buy that. I don't buy DLCs. Maybe it's just because of, like, I want to buy the game for the game. Any additional content, I don't want to spend $20 to $40 on 2 hours worth of content when I can put that money towards a new full game. So I've never bought a DLC in my life. No matter how much I've loved the game, unless I know that they're putting another 15 hours worth of content into a DLC, I won't buy it. Because it's like a new game at that point.
The COD DLCs used to get me all the time. Then it was
bullshit. But the COD DLCs were like for the new maps.
And the new maps were pretty much, I didn't enjoy them.
But you wanted more of a selection. But at the same time, too, their DLCs also were like, what, $5-$10 at the time? So it wasn't that bad. I mean, like, I'm not spending $20 to $40 on a new DLC, like, on a DLC to play 2 hours worth of content.
Witcher 3 had good DLCs.
I have heard that Witcher 3 does, like, 10 to 15 hours worth of DLCs.
The first DLC was, like, I would say 5 hours. The second DLC was, like, a whole new game.
Yeah. See, that's fine. If you're going to put a whole new game in your DLC, at least it needs to be minimum of 5 hours for it to be considered a DLC for me to actually consider buying it.
Yeah.
If I'm not getting 5 hours worth of gameplay, like if I'm not dedicating another 5 hours, I'm not spending $20 to $40 on your DLC.
It seems like such a cash grab for developers to make an extra buck.
Yeah, and it's like games are already expensive now.
Yeah.
Although speaking of that, I think, you know, like I've said, I've never bought a DLC in my life before. I think I'm going to buy the season pass, though, for Far Cry because the DLCs, we'll talk about that. We're going to run through the gaming news in a second.
Oh, that's another good game that I wanted to buy.
I just wanted to check the time. All right, so we're pretty good for time right now. I will say, though, the Far Cry DLC looks pretty sweet because it lets you go to Mars. Lets you go to Mars, dude. Why? Like, it's all this crazy stuff that they got going on. I feel like Far Cry 5, I feel like they're trying to make it like a Grand Theft Auto style game where
Grand
it's
Theft
an
Auto
open
Mars
world game. And with, like, you know how Grand Theft Auto is one of those games where you can complete the mission and then afterwards you could literally just play that game roaming around the open world for like years and years and years until they come up with a new game.
Yeah.
Like, Grand Theft Auto is one of those games where you don't even need to play the story. You could literally just pop it in and screw around and drive around cars and kill some hookers and you know what I mean? Like, just it's one of those games you could just roam around the free world and have fun. And I feel like that's what they're trying to do with Far Cry 5. There's so much content, and even in their DLC from what they're expecting, it sounds so promising that I think I'm just going to buy the season pass so I can get the DLC
and go
to pay
Mars.
The full price on the game and get everything in it, because that's one of those games that I feel like I just really want to complete, and it's one of those games I feel like I'm going to be playing for a long time. Like, I feel like the way that they're talking about it and the way that we see everything that's happening so far, I mean, we're a week away and everything that's expected to go, it just looks so promising. And I'm not going to buy it the first week because, well, I just want to kind of look at the reviews. I mean, it's coming out on the Friday, right? So comes out on the Friday. If I'm buying it, I'm buying it on the Sunday. And at that point, people will have put in at least, like, the hardcore guys have put in 5 to 10 hours already by Sunday.
Yeah.
Then you go and you look at the reviews for the guys that have put 5 to 10 hours into it. They're already almost halfway through the game. And they'll give you an honest review and you can kind of get a good idea of what it's going to be like. And then if it gets shitty reviews because it's nothing like what the developers promised, then I'll avoid and I'll wait for sale. If it's getting hyped up, then I think that I'll buy it just because, I mean, the only way that I'm not going to buy this game opening weekend is going to be if those guys in the first couple of days are just like trashing. Like, if it's just like nothing what the developers have said it's going to be or have promised it's going to be.
But Far Cry has been pretty good with delivering good gameplay.
Far Cry has been fantastic, and so I think that this looks like their most promising game yet. So I'm really excited for this game.
Especially you go to Mars, apparently.
Yeah.
Why do you go to Mars?
And let me find it. This was going to be a story in our This Week in Gaming, but basically, okay. So here, I'll just read this out. It's coming out this coming weekend. 25 hours or more it could take to complete. That's what developers are saying. They said that it's a pretty long game. So, I mean, like, when you hear that, 25 hours worth of gameplay, now you know that you're going to be getting your money's worth, especially for, like, you know, if you bought The Last of Us, let's say, or a game like The Last of Us at full price, $70, let's say, you got 15 hours worth of gameplay out of it for one story. I mean, you get your money's worth when you play it over and over on harder difficulty and you really enjoy the story. It's a great game, but I mean, 15 hours of gameplay, this has 10 hours more gameplay. And they said that they found so far in like the early stages that players have actually spent up to like 5 hours just hunting or fishing.
Really?
Yeah.
All the side quests then.
So just like side quests, awesome. Or just like, I guess the gameplay is just so immersive and fun that it's like you just have fun going out into the wilderness and hunting bears and fishing. So I guess it's just like a fun part of the game to just, you know, like if you don't really want to do any missions right now and you want to kill some time, you can just, you know, go hunting and fishing and do some side quests. So
I know hunting, when you collect fur, you can make larger bags for more ammo, let's say, or more grenade slots. They'll help you level up your gameplay and help you level up your character.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it could be fun doing those side quests and just kind of going out there and, like, especially if it has stunning graphics, that you can just kind of be like, just kind of take in the graphics of it all. And just, you know, like some games are just beautiful. You just want to take those in.
So, well, is this a PC game for you or a PS4?
This is a PS4 game for me. Yeah. I honestly, when it comes to PC, I don't really like playing like story mode games on PC just because there's too many times where I'll be like into it and then someone messages me and says, let's play Counter-Strike. And I'm like, okay. And I close it. And then I forget about the game. Like, I find that I tend to finish more games, like story mode games, on the PlayStation while I'm sitting on the couch and I'm just chilling than when I'm on PC. And
well, this game has co-op too.
Yes. And that was exactly what I was about to say too. So, like, once again, if you go and get the PS Plus today to play A Way Out, next week you already have it. So if we go and buy Far Cry, then we can actually go and do Far Cry together.
Because
this has co-op mode. So we could do the story together, which I love. Like, I love co-op mode games because sometimes there can be like boring parts of story mode games or like just tedious parts, and getting through them together with a friend makes them that much more fun and that much more interesting. That's why I love Gears of War so much, because back when Gears of War came out, me and my uncle both had it for Xbox, and we did the entire story mode through co-op mode, and it was so much fun. It was like, oh, there's a guy over here, I got him. Oh, there's a guy over here. Like it's so much more fun when you're doing a story mode game with a friend. Like, I just feel like gaming with friends is better than gaming alone anyway.
Oh, for sure.
So co-op modes, fantastic. So I'm definitely down to do co-op mode in this game if you are.
I'm down. I love co-op mode.
Not only are they going to do the expansion on Mars, but also they'll send you to the Vietnam War. So Mars and the Vietnam War.
There's a big jump between those two.
Right? And it's like all about being in Montana and taking down a cult, which is really weird too. So it's like, I want to know how a cult connects with Mars and the Vietnam War.
Elon Musk is part of a cult.
Elon Musk quit Facebook.
He quit Facebook?
Yeah, because of that. You saw that Facebook's stock has dropped and all of that.
Why?
I haven't really been paying too much attention to the Facebook news because I'm just kind of like, it's one of those things that'll most likely pass, but
probably something for security. They sell your information to people.
I think that's exactly it. It's something to do with security, and Elon Musk was like, I'm not standing with this. So he took Tesla and SpaceX off of Facebook. And a bunch of other people did that as well. And their stock plummeted like 20% or something like that, 10 to 15% or 20% this past week.
Oh, that's a huge hit. What's Mr. Zuckerberg going to do about that?
It's the biggest hit since I think they went public.
Jeez.
Like the biggest drop that they've had since they went public. But I mean, it's going to recover. If I had extra money, I would invest into the Facebook stock because, like, you just know it's going to go back up eventually.
And the Dropbox stock came out too.
Yeah.
That's
serious. I feel like now I used to use Dropbox before. Like, I used to love Dropbox, always used it for everything. And now I just use Google Drive. Everything's with Google now because I got the Samsung. So it's like I got Android. Everything's linked to Google. I have a Gmail account. I have the Google Drive. Like, I have everything is like practically Google. So, I mean, I just stick with Google, and the Google Drive is like already everywhere. It's easy to use, and I don't need an extra app. It's already with everything. So I just use that instead of Dropbox now. I deleted Dropbox.
Oh, true. I forgot about Google Drive. I use that for school for all the time.
Yeah, and that's the only reason why. And I think a lot of people do that. You use Google Drive. A lot of people don't even pay for Microsoft Office anymore because you got your documents and your Excel and all that within your Google Drive, like the like where we do our show notes. It's in Google Docs. I don't have Microsoft Word anymore. I deleted it.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because when I did a fresh install, I got rid of it. Look, it's Googled.
Oh, it is Google Docs. Okay. Okay.
It's in my browser.
I'll still pirate Microsoft Office. I mean, buy it legitly.
I just couldn't figure out a way to do it for Windows 10, to be completely honest, and that's why I didn't do it. And I was just like, I'm gonna use Google Docs. I think I may have it on my laptop with Windows 7, but I don't, I honestly haven't pirated anything in a long time. I don't pirate anymore because, I mean, everything, you don't need a pirate anymore. I feel like there's so many services that have found a way to actually, like, these services like Spotify and Netflix and all of that.
They killed the game.
They killed piracy.
They killed piracy.
Which is amazing. It's like, I'm not even mad. It's like the government thought, oh, well, maybe if we just keep shutting down all these piracy sites, it'll stop piracy. No, nothing will stop piracy. Like, I was thinking that, like, nothing is going to stop piracy. And I still technically think there's low-key going to be pirates downloading other stuff. Like, not everybody's using these services because, I mean, you still need to pay for them. But I think that, like, Netflix and Spotify and Apple Music and all of that, they all gave piracy sites they took a huge hit when all of these things went viral.
Because there's so much variety. It's cheap, too. You don't have
That's just it. Here's where
Netflix... And you won't get an angry letter from, like, HBO.
Here's where Netflix and Spotify went right. They're cheap because, and this is why people were like this. This is why the movie industry, like the blockbusters, the music industry, why the record labels, here's why piracy all killed them is because they were too expensive. That people, you know, it was too expensive before. Like CDs, I remember at one point were $40. And then people started pirating, and it brought down the prices of CDs to $10 to $20. And then nobody just bought CDs anymore because they were like, well, now I'm getting it for free, so why am I going to go and spend $10 to $20 when I can get it for free? And then all of a sudden, Spotify comes out and says, hey, by the way, it's only $10 a month, and you can get all the music you want all the time. You don't need to go to a third-party site. You don't need to transfer anything onto your phone or onto your iPod or anywhere. You don't need to risk getting a virus. Like, you know, $10 a month, it's cheap, and you get unlimited music anytime, anywhere. And people went,
okay.
Yeah, okay. You know, if Spotify was $60 a month, hi, thepiratebay.org.
We'll just put that site back up on
there. Yeah, back to my favorites. You know what I mean? Like, and Netflix, too, kill Blockbuster, because why are you going to leave the house, you know, to go and spend $10 to rent a VHS or a DVD when you could spend $10 a month? It was like $6 or $7 at the time. $6 or $7 a month. You got a whole bunch of movie selections there. And now it gets better and better, and they have their Netflix originals. I know the price keeps going up, but it's still like, what, like $9 a month, $10 a month? But still, like $10 a month, you get unlimited movies, unlimited TV shows. It has majority of stuff, and they have all of their Netflix originals now that it's worth it. Why are you going to leave your house when you can sit in your underwear on your bed and throw on a movie?
I think the best marketing, I don't even know if this came from a Netflix employee, but the best marketing scheme that they had for Netflix that just probably skyrocketed them. You know what it is? Netflix and chill.
Oh, dear.
I
think that came out of Netflix?
Probably not, but that helped them get so many more subscribers.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
For sure. Netflix and chill going viral.
You got a
helps.
Bunch of like horny college students be like, hey, babe, I'm going to come over for some Netflix and chill.
I got to invest $10 a month for some Netflix.
For Netflix. We'll put on a movie that
Let's
we both don't like.
See what type of return on investment I can get out of this. Hey, baby, come over.
It's usually like you put on a movie that you both might enjoy, then you don't watch the movie at all and you read Bible scriptures. That's how usually.
You read Bible scriptures?
Yeah.
I'm not really that religious, so I just play Monopoly.
Oh, yeah. Monopoly's a fun game.
Oh, man, I think this was a good podcast. We're coming up to the end of it. Let's just run through this week in gaming news
now. You still haven't told me why I've been beating people in PUBG Mobile.
We're going to get to that in 1 second. Let's get to this first. It's towards the end. You'll find out in a few minutes. Everyone's going to find out.
The suspense is killing me.
I know. So Atari is going to be releasing a retro console. So if you long for those good old days of blocky graphics and pew pew action in your video games, Atari re-releasing its retro console, Atari VCS, short for Atari Video Computer System.
So you pretty much get all the games for Atari because they're like 2 kilobytes big.
Yeah, and you're going to have to spend $250 to $300.
That's a lot of games.
And I don't know if it's because we're 90s babies that we grew up with like NES and Sega, and I just don't see the point in playing Pong on the Atari. I mean, like, I'm sure there's a bunch of 40-year-old gamers out there that would drop some coin on this, but I just can't see anybody our age and anybody younger than us.
Unless you're a big collector.
If
this
you're
is
a collector,
a good
maybe,
thing
but
to get.
I mean, it's not like the went like re-releasing the Nintendo or the Super Nintendo. Like it, like that's gonna get people.
Yeah, and that's another collector's item too. That's if you're collecting old school video game, that's
people
a cool thing.
People were lining up to go and clean out the EB Games. My brothers went in line at like 4 a.m. to go and get one, and they only allowed one per customer. And then afterwards, they played it for a little bit, and they're like, "We should have fucking sold it because the next day it was sold out everywhere." And people were selling them on, like, Kijiji for, like, $500. They're like, we could have made $500 on something we spent $80 on, but we opened it up and played it like a bunch of idiots. And I'm like, you also were both there and only bought one. You should have bought two so you could play one and sell the other.
That's true.
But
I would want to play it instead of sell it.
But you buy two. If you have two people with you, like, both of my brothers going, they could, or I could have told them, buy one for me because I would have loved one. But, like, I was working way too far. No EB Games around where I am. And I'm not going to come home on, like, a Wednesday to go and get, this, you know, the remake. And this was a couple of years ago, too. They didn't think about that. But, I mean, like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Call of Duty is tired of Call of Duty.
Really?
Yeah.
Seriously? After, like, 53 Call of Duties, they're finally tired?
They didn't actually say that, but this is what I'm getting from this story.
I swear, the programmers just copied and pasted all the code into the next Call of Duty, then just replace like two lines. We have a new Call of Duty and it's in fucking space now. Go shoot people lasers and rockets.
Okay, so they didn't actually say that they're tired of Call of Duty, but I feel like this is what they're saying by their actions. They're giving fans what they want by remastering Modern Warfare 2, but there's one catch, and it's a pretty big catch. It's just going to be the story mode, no multiplayer.
You know what? Call of Duty 2's story was pretty cool. Left you on a cliffhanger, but it was really cool.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, like, Call of Duty, maybe I'm missing out because, like, I haven't played any of the Call of Duty story modes. And everyone says that they're so good.
About Call of Duty.
Yeah. See, you've said that. You're not the first person to have told me that. But I mean, when I started playing Call of Duty, it was just to play with my friends online. I didn't even really know much about the game. And I ended up having so much fun on it. I think it was COD 4 that got me into it. And I mean, I've only played multiplayer. I haven't played a story mode for Call of Duty. And I know there's a bunch of people out there, though, that are just like me and have never played Call of Duty story mode and won't buy this game just because it's only story mode and they want to play online. Because majority of people play online. And it's like, what are you going to do once you complete the story? You want to play online with people. You want to play with your friends. That's the whole point of Call of Duty. It's an arcade shooter that you play with your friends.
Yeah, but what are you going to do with The Last of Us when you stop playing?
I guess, but like it's different though, because The Last of Us was meant to be a story mode game. You knew we were getting. You knew it was a one player game.
Yeah,
I mean, with Call of Duty, it's not Call of Duty. Like, I don't know.
But you've only played online. you haven't played like the actual story.
That's true. It's but like, I think, but like what I'm saying is I think that there's many people out there that are just like me that have never played the story, don't care to play the story, and they just want to play online with their friends. So I think that they're going to see even bigger of a hit when it comes to sales, because I think many people are not going to buy this because they can't play with their friends.
So I'll give the Call of Duty creators that they can tell a good story with pew action.
I can't confirm nor deny.
And it's a lot of cool cinematics. Things explode.
I just think that they shot themselves in the foot here. Pardon the pun.
They're just trying to recycle it like they always do. And people keep buying recycled warfare.
It's true. Actually, they make it like it's even more obvious now because they're literally recycling. It's like they're not even recycling the gameplay and changing the name. They're literally recycling games by remastering just a bunch of old games that people loved before. And then they come out with a new game, then they remaster an old one, then they come out with a new game, then they remaster an old one, and it's all the same.
Who makes it? Ubisoft?
It's Activision.
Activision? Yeah.
I believe, didn't they rotate? They were changing it for a while, but I believe Activision did this last one. Treyarch. I don't know. Our Call of Duty gamer Steve isn't here today.
Yeah. So they should just change their fucking company name. It'd be like only Call of Duty.
We went through Far Cry 5's campaign, taking you 25 hours or more to complete. So we talked about that already. So, Mike, before we started this podcast, you had said that PUBG Mobile is really easy.
Yeah, it's really easy.
And I told you, I know why it's easy. You think it's because players are shit on the phone, but really, it's bots.
It's bots?
It's bots.
Oh, that's so disappointing. Because I'm like getting like 8 kills, coming in 5th. I'm like, yeah, I'm so good at this game. And now it's bots?
I saw an article that basically said, here's why you probably got your chicken dinner on your first time playing PUBG Mobile. And it's basically because there's not enough people playing on mobile like there are on PC or Xbox to get 100 people every game. So because of that, to keep it competitive and 100 people every game and to keep people playing, they added low-key bots.
Oh, that's why. Because I had 3 people shooting at me at once at one point. Then I took all 3 of them. And I'm like, wow, everyone just sucks. Bots. They were probably bots.
These guys suck.
Actually, the guy who did kill me was more like active moving around and not staying in one spot and shooting me.
So he probably wasn't a bot.
Yeah,
but the ones
sense.
That you killed, the 8 kills you got were all bots.
I'd like to think at least 2 of them were players.
Yeah, so if you end up dying by somebody, I think that's the worst part, is not knowing if you died to a bot because you're so bad or if you died to another player. That's what would kill me.
You'll see the difference.
I guess. I mean, you were kind of onto it. Is it bots or not?
Because between the guys who kill me are like more like running around, shooting, stopping, aiming, shooting, stopping, aiming, moving.
The bots just stand there and just try to shoot at you?
The bots are, they act like bots. Like, they just stand, shoot, maybe move once, stand, aim, shoot.
8 kills. I got 8 kills. Bots. Everybody you kill now are just going to say is a bot.
Bot.
Also, PUBG is, I guess, trying to keep up with Fortnite again. I mean, last week we got emotes in PUBG, and that was actually kind of fun. But I mean, emotes in PUBG, we were playing around with them this week, me and Steve. And I mean, it's PUBG. You're just not used to using emotes like you would be in Fortnite, to the point where I totally forget. Like, I do them in warm-up, and then I just don't do them in the game. Like, it's not like Fortnite where I get a kill, and then all of a sudden I'm dancing.
The war between PUBG and Fortnite continues.
Yes, it does, because now they're actually adding a custom game event mode.
Ooh, fun. Yeah.
So, I mean, actually, this, I don't know, I saw Johnny posted in the group chat that there's 8-man PUBG now. I don't know if that's in the test servers or if it went live yet, but I know that they were planning on doing an 8-man squad as an event.
Ooh.
Also,
I just have to find 8 friends.
There's going to be a new update with flare guns. for like, and I don't know what the flare guns are for. Nobody knows yet.
Shoot people with flare guns?
I don't know if we're supposed to shoot people with flare guns, if it's going to act like an RPG, if it's going to call a crate.
That'd be cool.
I think it might call a crate. Like, you're going to get an airdrop. So if you're in the middle of nowhere and you think that no one's around you and you find a flare gun, shoot one up in the air, get a crate drop, and just get stacked up. That would be really cool to call in an airdrop.
Yeah, if you shoot a flare gun in the air, someone's going to see it.
That's the thing, though. And then you're going to see the crate drop as well. So it's going to draw attention to you. But I mean, like, say...
That would be good bait.
What I would do...
It's good bait.
Is I would go towards the edge of the zone. Like, if I know I'm on the edge of the zone, as the zone's coming in, I would run out, shoot my flare gun, run back into the zone, wait for the crate to drop, run out of the zone, grab my crate, and then come back in. So because if you're outside of the zone after it's closed in already, you just kind of take a painkiller, go out there, quickly loot it, come back, and then met up. And now, no, you don't have the risk of fighting people for the crate and dealing with all of that. And like, I think that would be the smart way to do that. That's if these even call in. This is all speculation. I don't know, but they're trying to add event modes. They've already added emotes. They're adding this flare gun, which I think that can add an interesting perspective to the game. Also, in 8-man, they're also doubling the chance of getting an AR. But I mean, squad with 4 people is already pretty intense. But then again, Fortnite, didn't they add like a 20 person squad mode? Like some of these survival games are just getting to the point where it's like impossibly ridiculous. I honestly, now I think that Fortnite and PUBG both competing, it's just gotten ridiculous now. It's like I almost don't want to play either.
I kind of like, I'm starting to lean towards Fortnite lately.
Yeah,
it's more fast paced, more like
it is. How many do you play it on, PlayStation or PC?
PC.
PC. You've been playing it a few times.
I finally customized my keys to build much faster, and I see Luca building these things, so I copy him.
Oh, you played with Luca?
No, I just saw him play.
Oh, when he's, yeah, because he's on PlayStation, but he plays with David on PC. Oh,
okay.
You could go cross platform from PC to PS4.
I'll have to play with him sometime because I saw him how he built like little walls when he's fighting people. So I copied him and I managed to get like,
that's what five, I did when I played with you. Now, when I played with Steve, the problem is I'm not even close to building as fast as Luca. So it's like someone comes and I'm trying to build, and next thing you know, they're already on top of me before I even built like 2 stairs.
And sniping in Fortnite is so much fun.
Yeah.
And it feels so satisfying hitting someone.
I love that you can actually watch the bullet drop.
Yeah.
Like that. I like that. You can watch the bullet. I mean, PUBG is just kind of like you're taking a shot, and the only way you know if it hit is if you see his blood.
Yeah.
But you could watch the bullet drop in Fortnite, which is really cool. Also, speaking of Fortnite, this is one of those things that I think if you want to do something in life, but you're worried about failing, you got to try anyways. You just got to do it, and you got to go with the flow, and you got to adjust your plan as you go. And this news, if you're a big Fortnite player and you love Fortnite, this will get rid of all of your excuses. Fortnite was never expected to be this big. It was never expected to be this viral. In fact, it was only developed in 2 months.
Really?
2 months it took them to develop, and originally it wasn't going to be free to play. But look at them now. Biggest game in the world. You know, they are still making money because people are buying V-Bucks. This game's bigger than my ego, dude.
Holy shit, that's huge.
It's huge. Yeah, so if you ever wanted to do anything, just go and try it.
For real. Yeah, good for them.
And the last thing in gaming news, we saved the best for last. Are you tired of playing games with toxic people, toxic players?
Yes.
Yes, me too.
When do I vote kick you?
Man, honestly though, like I've been playing a lot of Mind Knight lately, and like the last 2 weeks, dude, I haven't joined a proper game with people actually trying. That game has just gotten filled now. The last 2 weeks have been filled with trolls, agents refusing on Hammer, like people just calling out and being stupid, doing stupid proposals, legit throwing games. Like almost every game I've been in over the last 2 weeks, I've had someone throw in it.
Wow.
Which is so it's like I'm and yeah, like I've just been dealing with so many toxic gamers the last couple of weeks. So I barely played that much last week. Another reason why I want to go and do a way out and Far Cry with you, because at least we won't be toxic together. We don't need to deal with the online community, because sometimes you just get so tired of the online community and people being toxic that it's just like, okay, I'm done now.
I guess I have to block this guy again.
But yeah, if you're tired of playing with toxic players, good news, there might soon be a solution. At least Riot, Blizzard, Twitch, CCP, and Epic Games have all teamed up, and they formed what's called the Fair Play Alliance. It's an attempt to prevent toxic players. They teamed up so they can study what parts of games make other players toxic and how they can implement things in their games to avoid them. And I mean, like, to be honest, I appreciate the effort, but it really is an issue that's ruining video games. But it's the cancer in the gaming community, really.
I mean, if you go to school, there's going to be at least one bully. And what do you do with a bully? Probably ignore them and beat the shit out of them.
Yeah. Mute them.
Mute them.
Mute them. Kick them. Do whatever you need to do. But just, I mean, like that's why I was just about to say, like, I don't think there's much that can actually be done that's going to be effective. I mean, there's always going to be that one person, like you said, there's always going to be that one bully or that one person who gets tilted and starts talking shit. It's going to be difficult unless, I mean, if you remove comms entirely from a game, it'll be a lot easier, but then it's harder for games like Counter-Strike where you need to call out with your friends that it makes that impossible. You can't remove comms. Or if you permanently ban people for being toxic, but you also have to upcharge on the game so this way they can't constantly be paying $60 every time they get permanently banned for being toxic, and then that can also be... that could be abused as well, because it's like, oh, I just don't like you, or you said fuck off to me and now I'm going to report you for being toxic, and then you get a permanent ban. You know what I mean? Like it's hard to actually judge that, and it can be abused. So you're always going to have that one troll. But I mean, like, I do wish them the best of luck in terms of finding a way to curb those and actually find a way to change things in your games that maybe... Like, you know, it, like, I mean, they haven't studied anything yet, but if they can find a few key things that at least reduce the number, yeah, I'll be happy.
That'll be nice.
If you can implement things in your games or, like, avoid things in your games that will make less people be toxic, because you're always going to, like you said, you're always going to have that one asshole. But if we could get less toxic gamers, that would be nice, because, I mean, it's the Life is Casual Gamers podcast. We just want to play casually. We just want to have some fun, and occasionally we rage. We try not to tilt others, unless they're assholes.
I mean, like, if some... it's a weird topic to investigate. Because if... when you lose a game, you obviously get mad. You're going to blame other people for it. You're in the moment. You don't know what you're going to...
And that's how you differentiate a noob from an experienced player.
Yeah, but you're always going to have toxic players. Like, yeah. In life, you're always going to have that bully or that asshole. And
that boss you don't like.
Boss you don't like.
Yeah.
So if they do find a way to reduce gaming, good on them. But I'm very interested to see how they're going to approach this.
Yeah, I'd like to see. Like, this is one of those things that I'd like to stay updated on and continue to follow to see if they find anything or what studies they come out with and say, this is what's causing people to rage, so we're going to avoid this, or anything like that.
But there's also 1,000 YouTubers that actually go and troll people just for the sake of...
That's games. True, and there are people out there that'll stream snipe just to troll streamers.
Yeah.
Like, remember that big one was the stream sniping in PUBG, where, you know, a streamer would go into one area and they would stream snipe them, and they'd all hop into cars and they'd all just honk horns outside of their buildings. I mean, that was pretty funny. That was pretty funny. But, I mean, you know, you can't curb it entirely, but I do applaud the effort. And, well, speaking of toxic players, this week, none of us... we're toxic, like we said.
Yay, we're so good people.
It's rare. There's no weekly freakout this week. So that's a wrap for episode 7 of the Life is Casual Gamers podcast. Remember to give us a like on Facebook, follow on Twitter and Instagram, and subscribe to us on YouTube. Love you, and have a great rest of your day.
Later.